tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the program Dimensions of Islamic Life. And I hope wherever you are in the world, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep you in the best of health. And today's topic of discussion, mashallah, is another beautiful one. Imam Zainul Abideen, the great Imam of, alhamdulillah, of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we dedicate today's episode and program to his blessed personality. About him, there are, alhamdulillah, many virtuous accounts that have been mentioned about this great personality of Islam. And he is none other than the son of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who's the son of Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who's the husband of Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and who is the cousin brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And now, in this regard, there's a beautiful hadith with relation to Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi, wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers, there's a beautiful account that there were few poor families in the city of Madina Munawwara. And their food arrangements would be done within the night time. And the provider as to who was the person who would be providing food for them was unknown to everyone. Nobody knew this mysterious individual who would go and provide food for the poor, subhanallah. Time went by and around 100 families in Madina Munawwara kept receiving the necessary provisions of life through unknown sources and unknown hands, subhanallah. Imagine 100 families. Then, after some time, a great personality of Islam passed away. And the supply of provisions to those destitute people of Madina Munawwara also came to a stop. At that time only, this fact was revealed that the great and noble personality performing this hidden sadaqah and charity was the distinguished ancestor of the Husseini Sadat, Sayyidina Imam Zainul Abideen, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was the beloved grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, was born in the year 38 Hijri in Madina Munawwara. He was named Ali, and due to his abundance of worship, he became famous with the title of Sajjad. Sajjad meaning the one who makes a lot of sajda in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another title of his was also Zainul Abideen, beauty of the worshippers. His kunyat is Abul Hasan. Alhamdulillah, he was raised at great hand, subhanallah. He remained in the upbringing of his beloved grandfather, Sayyidina Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha, Ali Murtada, Karamallahu Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem, for 2 years. And then for 10 years, he, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, was looked after by his paternal uncle, Sayyidina Imam Hassan Mujtaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And then for approximately 11 years, he, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, attained the ranks of wisdom and spirituality under the provision and under the supervision of his blessed father, Sayyidina Imam Hussein, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah, can you imagine the upbringing that this noble personality, Imam Zainul Abideen, had? Allahu Akbar. The greats among the ranks in Islam. And those were Sayyidina Ali Mushkil Kusha, subhanallah, Imamul Wasilina ila Rabbil Alameen. He is the leader of those who connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Babul Wilaya is the portal of sainthood. At the same time, he is also Babul Ilm, the door of the city of knowledge, subhanallah. He is the conqueror of Khaybar. And his son is Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is, subhanallah, a great martyr of Islam, the martyr of Karbala, subhanallah, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this great Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin, is the son of that Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who gave his life for the dignity and preservation of Islam. He would highly venerate Khulafa'i Rashideen, this great Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He had deep respect and devotion to the Khulafa'i Rashideen, subhanallah, and had a deep passion for religious knowledge. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, would often refrain from doubtful things, yes. And this is a great noble quality in the pious predecessors, that let alone something that is impermissible or something that is forbidden, but they would also safeguard themselves from things that are doubtful, about which there is not much clarity, and they would refrain from such things as well. Among his habits were treating relatives kindly, and he was such a generous personality. We've just mentioned the account of Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that for consecutive days and months and years, he would provide for 100 families, poor families of Madina Munawwara, for all their needs. Yet, it wasn't known as to who was this person who was providing with this charity, subhanallah. Only after he passed away and the charity stopped, then only people came to know that it was the noble personality of Imam Zainul Abidin, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who was providing them with this charity and this help. Sayyidina Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi possessed very high level of taqwa and piety and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he radiallahu ta'ala anhu would perform wudu and ablution, his face would turn pale due to the fear of Allah. Subhanallah. This is how immense taqwa he had attained, subhanallah. That whenever he would make wudu, wudu is something that is supposed to cool you. But on the other hand, this effect that he used to have on his face during wudu, why? Somebody asked him, Ya Sayyidi, why does this state overcome you during wudu and ablution? And he, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, replied that, do you know who I am going to stand in front of? Allahu Akbar, due to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he was about to present himself in the court of Allah. Due to this fear, his Mubarak face would turn pale. And once his slave girl was making preparation for his wudu, and she was helping him with the wudu, and in the meantime, the pot, it slipped from her hand and fell on the face of Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, if something like that were to happen to you, if one of your servants, they dropped something on your face, what would be your first reaction? Allahu Akbar. And what happened due to the impact? Allahu Akbar, the pot fell on his face, so it must have caused some damage, some hurt, and due to which the blessed face of Sayyidina Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullahi ta'ala got injured. He sustained injuries. And as soon as he rahmatullahi ta'ala raised his head and looked at the girl, the slave girl that was there, she recited a beautiful verse of the Holy Quran based on the virtue of forgiveness and tolerance. Subhanallah, upon hearing that ayah of the Holy Quran, he radiallahu ta'ala not only forgive her, but he also said to her that, go, you are free for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. Look at the kind nature of this great Imam of the time, subhanallah. He was among the Husseini caravan that left for the field of Karbala, but he survived because he was ill at the time and he couldn't present himself at the battlefield. Allahu Akbar. Though he insisted on going, but His state was such that he was unable to get up on his own two feet. That's how severely ill he was. And he couldn't partake in the battle. And as a result, he survived, subhanAllah. And a lot of tabi'een, they acquired Islamic knowledge from him and narrated a blessed ahadith from him. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala, departed from this mortal world on the 14th Rabiul Awwal, 94 Hijri, at the age of 56. And his blessed Rawdah Mubarakah, his Qabr Sharif, is in Jannatul Baqi, subhanAllah. This is the great personality of Sayyidina Imam Zainul Abideen, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Very less is known about him, and mashallah, we will try to explore more about his beautiful teachings. You know, we have so far covered the aspect of his personality and his biography. In essence, alhamdulillah, there is much more to it, but let's not forget that he has also left his beautiful teachings, subhanAllah, which we need to adhere to as those who are devoted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Sahaba and his Ahl Bayt, subhanAllah. The rank of the first to acquire knowledge, he said about this, that if someone has acquired knowledge before you, he is a guide for you in that matter, even if he is younger than you. SubhanAllah. Yes. So when it comes to acquiring knowledge, and those who have preceded you, though they may be young, but they are your guide, subhanAllah, in terms of knowledge and wisdom, subhanAllah. The example of it we can see in the time of Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. He was very young, but he was a teacher to many elderly Sahaba, subhanAllah. Even the Khulafai Rashidun, they would come and ask for advice from him. If they wouldn't understand a certain verse of the Holy Quran, subhanAllah, they would ask him, because he was, alhamdulillah, in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would sometimes offer salah of tahajjud behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's how close he was to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was a child at the time. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua for him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant him the knowledge of the meaning of the Holy Quran, ta'wil, subhanAllah. And as a result of that, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu was immensely blessed with the knowledge of the Holy Quran, subhanAllah. Today, if you pick up a commentary of the Holy Quran, you will most definitely find, and very often you will find, the quotations from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. That this is what Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu had to say about the commentary of this certain verse of the Holy Quran, subhanAllah. So yes, he is Ra'isul Mufassirin, subhanAllah. And this blessed personality, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, though he was young, but he was respected and revered by those Sahaba ikram that were older in age. So this did not stop them from acquiring knowledge at the feet of this great personality, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And subhanAllah, the leaders at the time, Khulafai Rashidin, they themselves would acquire knowledge from this great personality, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, although he was at a very tender age at the time. Shaykh Sadi rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, he said something very beautiful, that it doesn't mean that somebody is younger in age or short in stature that he can't possess excellence, subhanAllah. He says, he gives a beautiful example. He says that though Mount of Tur, Kohi Tur, Mount of Tur may be little in height, but subhanAllah, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it holds great status. Allahu Akbar, because this is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made kalam with Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. In the second teachings of Imam Zainul Abideen, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says in his statement that the leaders of people in this world are the generous, whereas in the hereafter, it will be the religious and knowledgeable people. This is because scholars are inheritors of the prophets. alayhi salam. Subhanallah. So what he says, that the leaders of people in this world are those who are generous. Subhanallah, if you want to become a worldly leader, be generous. Subhanallah, he has given a beautiful madani pearl. Be generous. And you will attain leadership, subhanallah. So leaders of the people of this world are generous. Whereas in the hereafter, who will be the leaders of people in the hereafter, in this world? The leaders of the people are those who are generous. And in the hereafter, the leaders of people are those who will be religious and knowledgeable. Subhanallah. This is because scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. And you get the best of both worlds if you are religious, knowledgeable, and if you are generous at the same time. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to attain these beautiful characteristics and make it a part of our personality. Inshallah, ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. One of his statements, subhanallah, when he was asked, who has the greatest rank amongst people? Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was asked that who has the greatest rank amongst people? The Imam replied, those who consider the world to have no significance. Yes, those people who consider the world to have no significance. These are the people who are the greatest in rank amongst people. In the next statement, he mentions that the world is a place of sleep. The world is a place of sleep. And the hereafter is a place of awakening. We are like a troublesome dream in between them. Meaning the Imam is referring to the world as a place of sleep. It highlights that this place, meaning this world, is a place of negligence. We are only awakened when we leave this world and go into the hereafter. This is an awakening for us. Subhanallah. So yes, we need to wake up and start to take account for our actions. Take account of our actions, whatever we do. Because if we continue with this state of sleep and sleepwalk through life, then in the hereafter, there will be embarrassment for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wake us up from this dream of negligence. And inshallah, give us tawfiq to join those who remain awake for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam. It is mentioned that Sayyidina Ali ibn Hussein, meaning Imam Zainul Abideen, his name was Ali, subhanallah, Ali Awsat. So we know about Ali Asghar, Ali Akbar, and he is termed as Ali Awsat. So Sayyidina Ali ibn Hussein, Imam Zainul Abideen, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, was asked to describe an ascetic person. An ascetic person is basically he who is not interested in the world. He only strives for the hereafter. And he replied that what is the sign of an ascetic person? He says that he is that individual who reaches his destination without provisions. Yes. Who can take on a journey, undertake a journey without any provisions. And he is that person who prepares for his death, and he is that person who grows weary of his life in eagerness for the hereafter. Subhanallah. That person, or such a person, is a zahid and is an ascetic personality. He says contemplation is a mirror which shows a believer his virtues and vices. Contemplation is a mirror which shows a believer his virtues and his vices. How often do we contemplate? You know, before we close a business day, what do? We tally up our cash, whatever came into the account, the income and the expenses, we tally it. And then we see how much profit we made for the day from the cash that we received, the sales that we made, and so on and so forth. And we are so punctual in doing that. But when it comes to our spiritual life, do we ever take an account of what we did throughout the day, perhaps before you go to bed. Just contemplate for a few minutes what you did throughout the day. Did you do any good during the day? How was the tally between the good and the bad you did during the day? Was there at least more good than bad? All of this we need to take into account. And here the great Imam refers to the same thing. He says, contemplation is a mirror which shows a believer his virtues and vices. Subhanallah. You know, companies nowadays, how do they know that they are incurring a loss, or they are moving in a direction of bankruptcy, or they are doing well? How do they get to know all of this? The bookkeeping is done, accounting is done, the income and expenses are looked at, tally is made, is done, and then the opening balance and the closing balance of the business for that month or for that fiscal year, all of that is taken into account. And this is how we know the graph, whether it's going up or your company's growth is upward or downwards. And this determines, you know, this contemplation. This is a sort of contemplation, number game. You know, you may call it an Excel sheet or whatever other softwares that you use to crunch these numbers and then come up with a conclusion at the end of the day. So this is a form of contemplation when it comes to our financial life. What is the form of contemplation of our spiritual life? Where are we heading as a Muslim, as a believer, as an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is my duty? And whether I'm doing well with this duty that I'm assigned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, designated to? Am I performing my 5-time salah? Am I taking into account all the virtuous things that I'm supposed to do during the day? Sadaqah, charity, zakat, roza, all of this. Subhanallah. Am I going and violating anybody's rights? Have I done this? Have I done that? So for all that contemplation, there is a beautiful system that Yo Dawat Islami has created, which is pious deeds. Madani Inamat, previously known as Madani Inamat, aka pious deeds, and it can be obtained from the Play Store, the app. It can be obtained from the Play Store or from App Store, whichever device you use, Android or Apple. And inshallah azza wa jal, you can download it on your devices and start using and filling it in. And inshallah, in this way, you'll be made aware of, you know, you'll catch yourself in the act. And inshallah, it will be a future reference for you, that during the day, if you are about to commit a wrong, or if you have forgotten to do a good deed, subhanallah, it will remind you. It will serve as a reminder, subhanallah. And contemplation is a mirror. Again, coming back to the saying and the statements, beautiful statement of Imam Zainul Abidin, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, that contemplation is a mirror which shows a believer his virtues and vices. Subhanallah. And this system of contemplation in our Dawat Islami, subhanallah, is done via pious deeds, subhanallah, Madani Inamat, whether you can have the physical diary and fill it in, 72 Madani Inamat, and it differs from person to person, right? For children, it's different. For females, it's different. For males, individuals, it's different. And for those who have special needs, for them, it is different, alhamdulillah. So Your Dawat Islami is taking into consideration all age groups, all genders, and inshallah, this has been put in place by His Eminence Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakat Mul Aliya, under His guidance and supervision. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, it has been made so easy. All we need to do is take it and use it and better our worldly life and the life of the hereafter, inshallah Azza wa Jal, at the same time. Subhanallah. This is the great, subhanallah, need of the time that is being fulfilled by acting upon this Madani pearl of filling out our pious deeds booklet, alhamdulillah. And this goes in sync with the beautiful statement of Imam Zainul Abidin, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, where he says, contemplation is a mirror which shows a believer his virtues and vices. In the next statement, which is a very beautiful one, and it makes you think, he says that, I marvel at the individual who struts in arrogance. Although he was a droplet of water yesterday, he will be a disintegrated corpse in the grave after some time. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. If you are someone who holds or who boasts a lot of pride and arrogance, then we need to remember our beginning. What is our beginning? We were a droplet of water yesterday before we came to this world. And what will be our end result? We will be disintegrated and turn into a corpse. Allahu Akbar. And wither away after some time. This is our reality. Be how arrogant as you may be. But let this reality sink in, inshallah. And the moment you realize it, it will, inshallah, change your life for the better. He who doubts the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also surprises me greatly, as he denies Allah's existence despite witnessing his own coming into the world, which is clear proof of the Creator's existence. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And he says that, I am also astonished at a person who denies resurrection on the day of judgment despite beholding the first creation. Allahu Akbar. So here it means that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates us once, he can resurrect us for the second time. Alhamdulillah. It is mentioned at many occasions in the Holy Quran, subhanallah, this aqidah of being resurrected, this is one of the core beliefs of Islam. And he says that, I am further amazed at the person who may work for his temporary world, abandons the everlasting home, which is the hereafter. Subhanallah. He says that, I am further amazed at the person who may work for his temporary world, but abandons the everlasting home, which is the hereafter. And the author of Ruhul Bayan, Allama Ismail Haqqi rahimahullah ta'ala, further adds that it is necessary for the intellectual to derive admonition from these actions before death overcomes him. He should always seek to remain in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whilst doing so, strive upon the path of truth, whether day or night. And he must prepare for death before it arrives. Time is flying by in similitude to strong winds. Where are those who denied the prophets and messengers? I swear by Allah, they are dead, and soon the entire universe will come to an end. No angel, human, or jinn will remain therein. The book of deeds will be closed, and the day of judgment will be established. On that day, every major and minor deed will be made apparent. The unfortunate will be disgraced and humiliated, whereas the righteous will be in felicity. Subhanallah. Our Lord, we ask you to grant us the ability to remember death, keep us steadfast upon performing good deeds, and allow us to physically and spiritually remain upon the correct path. O possessor of all strength, O helper, aid us, assist us. Ameen. Bijahi an-nabiyyil amin. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. In the next saying and his statement, Imam Zainul Abidin ta'ala alayhi says that, indeed, if the body does not become ill, it becomes corrupted. There is no expectation of good from a corrupted evil body. Allah. In the next statement, he says, an individual should not say anything good about someone else which the former does not bear personal knowledge of. Otherwise, it will not be long until he says something negative about another person despite not knowing his personality. When two people befriend each other for the purpose of disobeying Allah, They only separate having disobeyed him as well. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So let's not be that person who unites with the other for the purpose of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather we should be the ones to unite, subhanallah, for the common cause of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mashallah, ijtima of Dawat Islami takes place everywhere in the world, subhanallah. Various different countries of the world, in almost every continent of the world. And wherever the ijtima of Dawat Islami takes place, it takes place for the same reason, subhanallah, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we can meet the brothers. You welcome, alhamdulillah, to come and join us here in Durban, Effingham, inshallah, azza wa jal. In various places in Durban, actually, Phoenix, Effingham, Reservoir Hills, Overport, in the Bluff area, and to Zuma, subhanallah. And these are the places where you can join the Ijtimaat of Dawat Islami and be part of joining brothers for the purpose of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together in one voice. Make the zikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and listen to the sunnah inspired bayan, and partake in the dua and cry in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill our objectives and all our lawful wishes. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. So yes, when we should meet each other, it must never be for the purpose of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it should rather be for the purpose of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam asked someone, meaning Imam Zainul Abidin, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he asked somebody, can you place your hand in the pocket of your Muslim brother without his permission and take whatever you please? The person replied that, no, I can't do that. I can't put my hand in somebody's pocket and take whatever I need. So Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullahi ta'ala responded that there is no true brotherhood between you if this is the case. Allahu Akbar. Meaning, if you can't do that with each other, if there is no such trust between the two of you, then there is no true brotherhood between the two of you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. You know, sometimes we are casual with our brothers, and it must be of that nature. We must be able to trust one another, and subhanallah, and to harness that trust is a great responsibility, and to uphold that trust is another great responsibility, subhanallah. So yes, we need to create that kind of bond where a person, you know, somebody sometimes can put, my brother, he can put his hand in my pocket and I shouldn't mind it. And if I do, then that means there is no brotherhood between the two of you. Subhanallah. He again, he says in the next statement, that never hold enmity against someone. Never hold enmity against someone. Even if you think he will not harm you, subhanallah. Never hold enmity against someone, even if you think he will not harm you. Never think little of someone's gift, even if you consider it of no benefit to you. Allahu Akbar. This is because you are unaware of when you may require your friend, or when you will be rendered fearful of an enemy. Great pieces of wisdom. Then he says again, further on in his statement, that when someone presents an excuse to you asking you to forgive him, accept it, even if you are aware that he is a liar. Allah. So if somebody has, perhaps he is not on time, you know, like how it happens in a, let's say, a scenario, somebody comes, works at your premises, your business, and he shows up late for work, and when you ask why the delay, and he makes up some sort of excuse which is not true. And then Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullahi ta'ala says, under such scenario, you accept it, even if you are aware that if the person who's making excuses, he's a liar. And then in the saying, he says, contentment with what Allah has apportioned you is true riches. Contentment with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you is true riches. And whoever remained content with what Allah distributed to them, what Allah has provided for them, they are the richest of all people. Subhanallah, this is so true. This is so true, subhanallah, subhanallah. The person who is by the Holy Kaaba and holding close to the Holy Kaaba, he's only saying one thing. He's a wealthy person and he's just saying, fulus, fulus, money, money. And he's a rich person, but he's not content with what he has. Allahu Akbar. So here, Imam Zainul Abidin, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, says that whoever remained content with what Allah distributed to them, they are the richest people of all. Subhanallah. Because the riches will not come by having a big fat bank account or bank balance. Because those who have it all, they are even more needier than you and I. Allahu Akbar. Let's say a person who is a billionaire, who is maybe in top 10 richest people of the world, they are always wanting more than what they have. Nothing is enough for them. Subhanallah. Sheikh Saadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has very beautifully said that, you know, if a king acquires one kingdom, one country, he is already contemplating on conquering the other. Subhanallah. This is their state. And he says that 10 faqirs, 10 people who are driven by the love of Allah, they are poor, they don't have much, but they can sleep under one blanket. They can share one blanket, but two kings cannot remain in one country. Just imagine the magnitude of this. Which direction are we wanting to go? In the direction where there is no satiation, where there is no satisfaction, where there is no calmness, where there is no pleasure, and always wanting more and more and more, until death does us part? Or do we want to be someone about whom Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullahi ta'ala makes reference of, and he says, whoever remained content with what Allah has provided for them, they are the richest of all people. In the next saying, he says, remaining content upon fated hardship is from the highest level of certitude. Subhanallah. Yes, remaining content on hardships. This is where we are tested. And the narration is, As-sabru inda sadamatil ula. That sabr is at the first strike of the calamity. Allahu Akbar. At that time you are tested whether you have patience or you don't have it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are patient upon each and every calamity and embrace it as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He then advises somebody, Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says, O my son, be patient when facing hardships. Do not squander the rights of others, and do not place your brother in a difficulty whose loss is greater than any temporary benefit you acquire. Allahu Akbar. In the next saying, he says, the one who proceeds in acknowledging your favor has made you a prisoner of his love. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, be the person who is appreciative if someone has done you a favor, and acknowledge it, mention it, subhanallah. And this is a great actually characteristic to have. And this is something that is praiseworthy. We should actually try to remember and make sure that we are thankful to those who have done favor upon us. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in his Mubarak hadith, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. One who is not thankful to people, he is not grateful to Allah. So inshallah azza wa jal, with this in mind, we should try and remember this beautiful teaching of Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Speaking of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have a great kalam in the praise of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah, which we are going to listen to, and a beautiful nasiha as well until we return. So stay tuned with Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Pyare islami bhaiyon aur Madani channel ke nazreen, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, bachpan mein jo mujhe yaad padta hai, zindagi mein sabse pehle agar maine koi naat padhi thi to wo yahi naat thi jo aaj main aapke samne ek bar phir pesh kar raha hu.
Kis tarah paav rakhe ya sahib e basirat, ya basirat, ya basirat. Kis tarah paav rakhe ya sahib e basirat. Aankhein bichhi hui hain har ja teri gali mein, duniya teri gali mein, ukba teri gali mein, ukba.
اب کہاں چلے؟
مدینے
مدینے مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نندی دانندی دا جبی افسردا قدم لغزیدا لغزیدا
چلا ہوں ایک مجرم کی طرح میں جانب طیبہ چلا ہوں ایک مجرم کی طرح میں جانب طیبہ نظر شرمندہ شرمندہ بدن لرزیدہ لرزیدہ نظر شرمندہ شرمندہ بدن لرزیدہ لرزیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نندیدہ جبی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ لغزیدہ
کسی کے ہاتھ نے مجھ کو سہارا دے دیا ورنہ کسی کے ہاتھ نے مجھ کو سہارا دے دیا ورنہ کہاں میں اور کہاں یہ راستے پیچیدہ پیچیدہ کہاں میں اور کہاں یہ راستے پیچیدہ پیچیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نندیدہ نندیدہ جبی افسردہ افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ لغزیدہ
کہاں میں اور کہاں اس روضہ اقدس کا نظارہ کہاں میں اور کہاں اس روضہ اقدس کا نظارہ نظر اس سمت اٹھتی ہے مگر دزدیدہ دزدیدہ نظر اس سمت اٹھتی ہے مگر دزدیدہ دزدیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نندیدہ نندیدہ
سردا قدم لغزیدہ لغزیدہ
مدینے جا کے ہم سمجھے تقدس کس کو کہتے ہیں مدینے جا کے ہم سمجھے تقدس کس کو کہتے ہیں ہوا پاکیزہ فضا سنجیدہ سنجیدہ ہوا پاکیزہ پاکیزہ فضا سنجیدہ سنجیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نندیدہ نندیدہ جبھی افسردہ افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ لغزیدہ
بسارت کھو گئی لیکن بصیرت تو سلامت ہے بسارت کھو گئی لیکن بصیرت تو سلامت ہے مدینہ ہم نے دیکھا ہے مگر نادیدہ نادیدہ مدینہ ہم نے دیکھا ہے مگر نادیدہ نادیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نندیدہ نندیدہ جبھی افسردہ افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ لغزیدہ
وہی اقبال کو ناز تھا کل خوش مزاجی پر وہی اقبال جس کو ناز تھا کل خوش مزاجی پر فراق طیبہ میں رہتا ہے اب رنجیدہ فراق طیبہ میں رہتا ہے اب رنجیدہ رنجیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نندیدہ نندیدہ جبھی افسردہ افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ لغزیدہ
When you finish a long, tiring day, maybe at school, madrasa, jami'a, or your work, then what does your body need? What does your mind need? Rest in the form of sleep. And sleep is a great bounty of Allahu Jalla Jalaluhu. Ask that person who suffers from insomnia and cannot fall off to sleep or cannot get sufficient sleep. Ask them. Because if a person does not get sufficient sleep, they cannot function properly. Their mental state is in disarray. Yes, we are taught that to sleep at certain times affects one's intellect, one's intelligence and memory. Take for example, it is not a good idea to sleep after Asr or between Maghrib and Isha. One should try to sleep soon after Isha Salah so that they get sufficient amount of rest. Your body and your mind. And this is for your physical health and your mental health as well. When you're going to sleep, then before sleeping, make sure you recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, dust your bed 3 times. Try to stop any light from entering into the room as this can affect one's sleep. If you need to get block out or black out curtains that keep the light out, make sure you do not eat a stomach full and then go to sleep. This is very unhealthy. Try to not use your phone at least 30 minutes or 1 hour before going to sleep, especially children, because the blue light that is emitted from the screens actually has a negative effect on the release of melatonin, which is a sleep-inducing hormone. For those who are suffering from insomnia, then contact our Ruhani Ilaj Spiritual Cures Department for the necessary litanies, wada'if, and ilaj treatments as well. So yes, we need sufficient sleep. Instead of wasting away 2-3 hours at night on social media, on the little clips that are there for entertainment purposes, rather reserve some of those times and add it to your rest. Because if a person doesn't get sufficient rest, we know what the consequences are. They cannot function properly. Whilst getting sufficient sleep is necessary for our proper functioning, sleeping excessively is also unhealthy and unwise as well. Think about it. If you lived to 60 years and if you slept for 8 hours in a day, you have 24 hours in the day, meaning 1/3 of the day you reserved for sleeping, then after 60 years, 20 years of your life you would have been sleeping. Yes, there are some people that need the 8 hours. Others may need less, 7, 6, 5 hours, depending on your internal clock. So get sufficient sleep. And don't forget, before sleeping, to recite the necessary du'as, wada'if, ayatul kursi, suratul fatiha, and conclude with suratul kafirun. As Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah ta'ala Ali advises, that a person who is habitual with the recitation of suratul kafirun at the very end of all the other litanies and wada'if when they're going to sleep, insha'Allah ta'ala will die with iman. Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us a good end, a shaheed mouth in Madina Tayyiba, burial in Jannatul Baqi, an entry without accountability into Jannatul Firdaus, in the closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam. Welcome back, dear viewers. Subhanallah, we were listening to a beautiful kalam rendered by Rukne Shura, Maulana Haji Abdul Habib Attari, Hafizahullah, and a beautiful pearl of wisdom, Nasiha, from our great Muballigh, Maulana Naushad Madani, Hafizahullah, Subhanallah. As we were discussing the beautiful teachings of Imam Zainul Abideen, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, there is yet another statement where he says about, you know, a definition of a generous person as to who is can be considered. The person can be considered a generous person is he who gives to inquirers, meaning those who are asking, is actually not a generous person. Those who only gives to those who ask him for anything, he is not a generous person. The generous is, in fact, he who hastens in fulfilling the rights of Allah's obedient servants and does not desire his own personal praise. This is all conditional on him possessing certainty in attaining reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is truly a generous person. Subhanallah, what a beautiful perspective he has given us on generosity from an Islamic perspective, and how we can now recognize a generous person in the light of this guideline that he has given us. And then he said, how can we distinguish between a generous person and, as opposed to the generous person, is a miserly person? How can we now distinguish between the two? He says, the generous person rejoices in the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him, whereas the miserly person takes pride in their wealth. Yes. So the generous person is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him, as opposed to the miserly person who takes pride in his wealth. He shows pride because of having wealth. That person is not actually generous. That person is miserly. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to learn and apply into our own lives whatever beautiful lessons that we have derived from the statements of Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for their sake. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi Lameen. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.